Thank you, children, for singing on the spot for the preacher. You did a great job. I know you weren't prepared, but that's, you know, sometimes that's better anyway. Do it with a different heart. Just do it to the best of your ability. Not for show, but for Jesus. Amen. Proverbs chapter 12. Stand, let me read one verse, and then we'll have a word of prayer. A man, verse 3, 12, 3, a man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. Let me preach to you on the root of the righteous. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the tremendous blessings of the day already. Lord, help me just to be a blessing to your people as we close out the first day of the week here in your house. Lord, thank you so much for this place. But Lord, more than that, thank you for these people that you put here. Lord, I pray that you continue to work in all of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you can be seated. One simple verse, really. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time. We've had a tremendous service, a little bit longer than normal because of the baptisms and extra singing. But I do want to get to the Word of God tonight for a little while anyway and help us understand that there are people in life that, and really, verse 3 compares two different people, a man who is wicked and a man who is righteous. A man who is established and a man, who is never going to be established. Not established. A man who, in other words, is stable in truth and a man who is never, ever going to be stable. The roots of a tree determine the strength of that tree. I heard yesterday, after we had soul winning and we went home and after prayer meeting, Brother Rodriguez went over to Brother Alejos' house and to cut down a tree. And boy, ask him about it. It was quite comical. I wasn't there to watch it. I wish I would have been now. But I heard about it. And apparently it was just, it was incredibly big tree. And they were really, neighbors were moving their cars out of the way. And Miss Alejos was looking out the window and praying. And Brother Alejos was up in the tree holding on so tight that he was shaking because he didn't want to fall off. And they were both looking at how are we going to do this. And they got ropes tied to it. And they're trying to pull it away from the house and away from the cars. And it was just a huge tree. I don't know what kind of tree it was, but anyway, I think they finally got it down. But the reason that tree was strong is because it had strong roots. Amen. The roots of a tree determine the strength of the tree. The roots of a tree, listen now, are the tree's anchor. That's what anchors that tree in the ground. The roots go down into the ground and hold that tree in place. The storms come, things happen, and I want you to understand now, in spiritually speaking here, in our lives, there's two kinds of roots. There's salvation roots. That's when you get saved. Those roots never go away. Those roots, you cannot uproot that. Nobody can dig those up. Those are salvation roots. Those are heavenly roots. Those are anchored in Christ Jesus, the rock of ages, amen, the eternal life that can never go away. And those are salvation roots, but listen to me. There's also what I'm going to call stability roots. Notice again, verse 3 says, a man shall not be established. A person will not be stable. They will not have a stable life by wickedness. But in direct contrast to that, the root of the righteous shall, look at that, not be moved. You don't get much more stable than not being moved. What does stability mean? That not being moved. Not being moved. Once we're saved, our spiritual lives are rooted in Jesus Christ. We're forever rooted and grounded, as I said, and established, and we cannot be moved away from our position in Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody ever tell you that you can. You cannot lose that position. You cannot lose that righteousness imputed unto you through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by the blood of Christ and the grace of God, amen, giving you God's own righteousness by your faith in Jesus Christ. You can't lose that. You can't be moved from that.
Amen.
Thank God for it too. But these stability roots, however, comma, these roots determine how stable your life is on this earth. How stable you are as a person. As a Christian, yes, but just simply as a person. A stable life, an established person. A stable life is an established life that shall not be moved. An established life is a stable life that is not and will not be uprooted. Because you have roots of righteousness. Leave your place here. Put a marker there and turn over with me to Psalm 15. Psalm 15. The roots of the righteous. The root of the righteous. Psalm 15, verse 1. Lord, notice this question. This is a prayer. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh, what's that next word? Righteousness. And speaketh the truth in his heart. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about abiding in Christ. We're talking about a dwelling in the holy hill. In other words, staying in God's will. Staying where God wants you to be. Staying put. Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? He that walketh uprightly. He that worketh righteousness. He that speaketh the truth in his heart. Hey, stop a minute. Those aren't spiritual things. Verse 2 is not anything to do with spirituality. It has to do with your behavior. Now, listen. It has to do with you and me making decisions, doing things that are right, walking uprightly. It has nothing to do with spirituality, folks. It has to do with you deciding you're going to walk uprightly. Now, here's, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of people today who walk all kinds of ways. Okay? But one thing that they teach you in the military and in the beauty pageants and other things is how to stand upright. How to walk uprightly. And I've never been in a beauty pageant, sorry. I know I disappointed you there, but I've heard. But I have been in the military, and you know, I talk about that all the time because it's a big part of my life. But one of the things was, listen, you need to learn how to stand upright. Stop slouching. Stop being such a lazy slouch. I mean, I get on my girls all the time. Right, Lisa? Stand up straight. Stand up straight. What are you slouching for? Stand up straight. Put your shoulders back and stand up straight. What are you doing all this for? You know what that is? That's just laziness. Stand up straight. But you know what? In reality, walking uprightly is not just standing up straight. It's doing right. It's easier to be lazy and slouch over like this and just kind of do whatever comes naturally. But you, listen to me, church, you're going to have to decide to walk uprightly or you're not going to be able, you're not going to have the roots that you need. I'm talking about the roots of the righteous. Yes, being saved. Again, we're not talking about losing salvation, but we're talking about losing the fellowship, losing the power and the peace. There's tremendous peace in being in the middle of God's will. What you just saw tonight, them getting baptized, they decided to stay in God's will.
Amen.
God's will. What God wants for them is what they chose. Now, they didn't really have to pray about that. They just had to decide to do it. Right, Amadi? You had to do it. Right, Brother Eddie? You had to pray about it. You had to know this is what God says to do. And then, you know what I'm going to do? I need to pray about it. I need to decide to walk uprightly. I need to decide to do what the Bible says. You know, you're a lot happier now, aren't you? I know tonight I was scared to death. I'm scared. I'm going to get, I don't know if the preacher's going to hold me under. Let's read on though. In verse, I got to hurry. I wasn't going to be long. But verse 3. He that backbiteth not with his tongue. Let me back up to verse 2. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness. Now that's not spiritual, guys. That's just you doing right. Making right decisions. And speaketh the truth in his heart. In his heart? How can I speak in my heart? Let me explain that to you for a minute. What comes out of your mouth is not what God really sees. What God sees is what's in your heart. You know, you can say something with your lips, but not really mean it in your heart. What God sees is what comes out of here. Sooner or later, if it's in here, it's going to come out of here, though, by the way. Right? It's in the well, it's going to come out in the bucket. I've said that before. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but it's in there, it's going to come out. But God sees speaking truth in the heart. In other words, you need to have a truthful heart. Let's read on here in verse 3. He that backbiteth not with his tongue. These are not spiritual things, folks. These are behavioral characteristics of a person. Listen, you need to do what's right. How am I going to abide in the tabernacle? How am I going to dwell in thy holy hill? How am I going to stay in the will of God? I'm going to not backbite with my tongue. I'm not going to run people down with my lips, my tongue. I'm not going to speak evil of people. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to call people names. Listen, are they really that? Well, they may deserve it, but that's not for us to say. Amen. Are they really that low down, dirty? And yes, they may be, but that's not for us to say. That's between them and God. Vengeance is God. Let Him take care of it. You and me need to be careful what's in our heart and what comes out of our mouth, because the things that we say are going to move us out of the will of God. It's not going to affect them at all.
That's right.
I better hurry up. But we can't backbite in our heart, folks, or we're going to get out of the will of God. Can't backbite with our tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh a reproach against his neighbor. These are not spiritual things. These are behavioral things. This is you and doing what God says to do. In whose eyes a vile person is not contemned. In other words, when you see a wicked person, lost person, you don't cast judgment on them. They're lost. According to Psalm 15, I haven't even finished it yet. There's a lot of ways that we can get ourselves out of the will of God. Now, come on, y'all. Y'all were excited about baptism. Now, don't go to sleep on me now when I'm preaching the Bible. Listen, this baptism is going to fade away. This is what's going to be eternal. You need to get excited about this. You need to, don't go to sleep on me because I'm preaching the Bible. Amen. You're excited about that, but you go to sleep when I start preaching the book. Now, wake up and listen. This is what you need to hear more than that. That's temporal. This is eternal. Amen. Listen, I'm talking about staying in the will of God where you have a life that's protected and honored and blessed. I'm talking about God blessing you and helping you. I'm talking about abiding where your roots are deeper. And you have a life that's established and stable, where you be here, where you want to be, where God's blessing. All the testimonies you just heard about a minute ago, that only comes from God's will, God's grace, God's blessings. And listen, but you can get out of that. So can I. Psalm 15, in other words, Psalm 15 is showing us a lot of ways to get out of the will of God. In whose eyes of Alcan, in verse 4, but he honoreth him that fear the Lord. He honoreth them that fear the Lord. You know, you ought not honor athletes who play ball on Sunday. They don't fear the Lord. I don't care what they say. They do not fear God when they play football on Sunday. That is God's day. They're partying, they're boozing, they're whining and women all week long, and then they get on TV and they say, whoo, when they score a touchdown, and they pat their back, and listen, you better not honor them or you're not in the will of God. Let me just throw that was free. But you know what you ought to honor is missionaries.
Amen.
I was in the military, you know that, I've said that once or twice. And Americans have the Christians even in churches, whole military, and they're just like, praise you, brother, praise the Lord, brother, thank you for your service. But here comes a missionary, and we're like, well, who's this? And we didn't even bother to go talk to him. That military man, thank God for him, he's fighting, he's defending his country, but this country's going to burn one day. Those missionaries are doing eternal work.
Amen. That's right.
We're to honor them a lot more than we ever do an athlete or a military member or a lost man. We ought to honor those that fear God.
Amen.
Not have posters of filthy, wicked harlots hanging in our bedrooms. And by the way, when you watch that stuff on TV, you're honoring it. You're honoring it. Because they're making it for you to watch. And when you watch it, you're honoring it. You're not in the will of God. Y'all were hoping for just a nice little cushy message, I know. That's what I had planned, but the Holy Spirit's still the Holy Spirit. He's still in control. Amen?
Amen.
We need to honor those that fear God and nobody else. We don't need to honor the wicked. We don't need to honor the heathen. We need to honor those that fear God. Hollywood does not fear God.
Amen.
They curse God every second. We do not need to watch that stuff because that honors Hollywood. Okay, there it is. You know, I hope that you understand that I'm not trying to get you to be weird. I'm trying to get you to be in the will of God.
Amen.
You're going to feel like you're weird, and people are going to look at you like you're weird, but you're going to know if you'll just trust God. I'm not weird. I'm in the will of God. I'm abiding in His tabernacle.
Yeah.
I want you to make it. I want you to have established roots. I don't want you to, listen, what the Bible says, that verse, don't turn back there yet. But that wicked man will never be established. That's what it says. Never. Up and down, in and out. I'm still in Psalm 15 though. He honoreth them that fear the Lord. Notice in verse 4 at the end, it says, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Oh boy. That means I give you my word and I keep it. Even if it hurts me. These aren't spiritual things, folks. These are character issues. These are behavioral issues. This is just good old fashioned, how do I live my life?
Amen.
What do I do on a day to day basis? What do I say? How do I think? Where do I go? What do I do? Who do I honor? Listen, I'm talking about nothing spiritual, but this is discipline, living a life of character, godly character. He that putteth not out his money in verse 5 to usury. That means you're a good steward with what God gives you. You take care of your money. You invest it where God wants you to invest it. You don't put it out and try to make money on interest and loans and try to rip people off. Nor taketh reward against the innocent. These things are not spiritual. They're simply you and me doing what we know is right, what God tells us to do. These are what God calls working righteousness. Walking uprightly. Stand up straight. That's what God's saying. And live a righteous life.
Yeah.
And notice what it says at the end there of verse 5. He that doeth these things shall, what? Never be moved. That's a wonderful psalm right there. Never be moved means that he that doeth these things is planting roots deeper and deeper and deeper, establishing themselves in the will of God. Never be moved means never. It means never. Proverbs 12, turn back to where we started. Our verse is comparing, then I'm hurrying up here, but our verse is comparing again a wicked man and a righteous man. One's never going to be established. One's never going to be moved. What a blessing that is. One practices wickedness. One practices righteousness. Wickedness will never establish your life, church. Sin will never do anything but uproot you, move you, toss you to and fro, like I said a minute ago. Righteous living will root you deeper and deeper in Christ Jesus, your Savior. And being rooted in righteousness means you're rooted in righteous soil. Righteous soil. That means you're rooted and faithfully attending the same church, the right church, the church that preaches the truth. You're rooted in righteous soil. You're rooted in righteous surroundings. That means you're surrounded by other righteous people, other children of God, other righteous things. You're rooted in righteous, the Word of God, the source of life. You are rooted. You will not be moved. You will have an established life. It will remain. Now quickly, let me just give you a couple thoughts here and we'll go home. When you live your life according to the righteousness of God's Word and you are rooted in righteousness, listen to me, you will remain even when the branches break. Now, hang on now. I'm trying to help you here. Even when the branches break. See, trees hurt. When Brother Alejos and Brother Rodriguez were trying to cut down that tree, well, they took down branches first. They had to get the branches down first and then eventually get the trunk down all the way down to the ground. But listen to me. When you cut a branch of the tree, it hurts. It hurts that tree. If it had a mouth, it would cry. If you could hear it, it would cry. It hurts. It's like somebody cutting off your arm. And you do have a mouth. And we would hear that. But I'm talking about a tree rooted in righteousness. Sometimes, listen, we don't literally have limbs break physically, but we do have hurtful times. Sometimes I would rather have somebody cut my arm off than go through what I go through. I'm talking about people hurting you deep, 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 deep down to the bottom of your heart. You need to have deep-rooted roots of righteousness so that when the branches break, because this world is full of branch-breaking people. When the branches break, however, a deep-rooted tree doesn't go away, is not uprooted. Hurtful times in our lives, listen, if you're not rooted, they will move you away from Christ. If something comes along or somebody comes along and hurts you where you wish they would, you would rather them cut your arm off than what they've done to you. It's then you remember, I've got to keep my roots deep. It's then you're going to be thankful that you had deep rooted life in righteousness. Broken branches. Even when the branches break, if you have deep roots, you won't fall over. You won't be moved. You'll stay in the will of God. None of us, trees never wake up one morning and say, I hope somebody comes and breaks my branches off today. They don't wake up in the morning like that. They enjoy their branches. They enjoy their branches. Those branches are there on purpose. Those branches are part of that tree. But along comes some lumberjack with a chainsaw. Or some Spanish pastor from Amazing Grace Baptist Church. And starts taking down the branches. That tree hurts. If it's got deep roots, though, it won't be moved. You know what you did tonight, sweetheart? I'm looking at Tanaya. I'm not looking at Amadi. You know what you did tonight, sweetheart? You got your roots a little deeper.
Amen.
You know what you did tonight, Brother Eddie? You got your roots a little bit deeper. Are you listening?
Amen.
You established your life a little bit more in Christ. Amen. Brother Amadi, you got your roots a little bit deeper tonight. And listen, that doesn't mean, though, that sometimes branches aren't going to get broken. Listen to me. I'm just trying. This is very simple stuff, but it's truth. Branches get broken even when your roots are deep. You need to be careful that when your branches get broken, that you focus on the roots and understand this is what's going to keep me established. Not the branches, but the roots.
Amen.
Branches come and branches sometimes go. Blessings come and blessings go. And we've had a tremendous day today, but then there are some days that just aren't so great. But even when the branches break, if your roots are deeply rooted in righteousness, you won't be moved. When your roots are deeply rooted in righteousness, you won't be moved, even when the leaves leave. You know, leaves are a tree's covering. Leaves adorn a tree. Leaves decorate a tree. They make a tree look better. Right? They do. I mean, springtime when trees start to sprout their leaves again. But wintertime, boy, those old dead trees and branches, they just look dead. Bare. They ain't so pretty. But boy, when they start getting their leaves back and their leaves are there, and it's a tremendous adorning. It's a decoration for that tree. It's a covering for that tree. It makes the tree look better. It makes the tree fit in the forest. I mean, a tree, if you've ever seen a dead tree in the middle of the woods, it stands out like a sore thumb. Because all the other trees, they're just blossoming and blooming with their leaves, but here's this dead thing. No leaves and it's dead. A tree leaves helps it fit in the forest. But listen to me. Exactly. When we begin to live righteous lives, though, listen now. We don't fit in as much as we used to. Listen. When we live righteous lives, when we go back to Psalm 15 and we really start practicing those things, we really start living a righteous life, we don't fit in so much in the jungles of this old life. Have you noticed there's a jungle out there? Have you noticed that? Yes, you have. And you know what? When you start living a righteous life, you don't fit in with that mess anymore. What fellowship does light have with darkness? What communion does Christ have with Belial? There's none. There's nothing in common, light and darkness. They don't blend. And then when we start living righteous lives, we're getting our roots deeper and deeper because, listen to me, some of the leaves have got to go because we're not supposed to fit in. We're not going to fit in when we're living righteous lives. Again, remember I just used the word weird a minute ago. You're going to start thinking you're weird. People are going to start calling you weird. But listen, you have to understand you're not weird. You're in the will of God. Don't forget that. And listen, sometimes God says you need to get rid of some of those leaves because those leaves don't please me. But Lord, they help me fit in. Leaves are a tree's covering. And when we begin to live righteously, we don't fit in. Leaves are also a tree's concealment. They can hide what's on the trunk. Are you listening to me? Now, don't lose me now. I'm just giving you some simple thoughts here tonight. But you know what God's Word does? It starts exposing what's really on the inside. When the preaching of this book, honest to God, real life, Holy Spirit preaching, which I try to make sure we have every service, it starts opening up your heart. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's open heart surgery, brethren. And you know what? When that starts to happen, God starts pulling back those leaves and you start to see what's really in there. You know what happens? If you're not careful, you're going to leave. But if you have your roots deeply rooted in righteousness, even when God pulls back the leaves, what you're using to cover up things, and listen, you may not, let me say something to you here. When leaves naturally grow, leaves naturally cover, leaves naturally conceal. Sometimes there's things that are concealed in your life that you really don't even know about until the Word of God starts dissecting it. And so, but you have to understand, when God pulls that back and He shows it to you, it's for your good. It's for your growth. Amen. It's to help you. But if you don't have deep roots, and that starts to happen, you know what your first temptation is going to be? Listen, I'm going to move. And you go ahead and start moving. I don't want you to move. But when you start moving, you'll just keep moving. You will never be established. That's what I'm talking about tonight. It's the roots that keep you established, not the leaves. It's the roots that keep you established, not the branches. We must be rooted so every time we see what's really in our hearts, we don't try to move again. We must be rooted so that we'll stay put even when the branches break. We'll stay put even when the leaves leave. We'll stay put even when the tree is trimmed. Now, I'm not talking about breaking. I'm talking about purposely trimming. Hold on now. Pruning. Trees need to be pruned many times so that they'll come back healthier. So that they'll grow more fruit. So their branches will sprout even stronger and more branches. Trees need to be trimmed to keep them sometimes also from growing in a wrong direction. I got a big live oak tree in the front yard of my house, and I told my landlord, I said, look, this thing's growing. It's over here on the neighbor's house. It's over here on the power line. And I said, you know what? This ain't my tree. This is your tree. You need to get over here and have this thing trimmed. Because if it starts a fire over here or knocks the windows, the roofs of the neighbor's house down, I'm not responsible. It's your tree. But he looks at it and he said, well, it don't look too bad. I think we'll just let it be for now. But the thing's growing. It's all the way across the neighbor's driveway on top of the neighbor's house. It's right in front of a light post, too. I got to tell you a story. I don't remember. Y'all got a few minutes? Okay. Speaking of trees, it's right in front of my house. And the girl's bedroom is right in front of the house. And that front bedroom, if you've been to my house, is the girl's bedroom. I don't remember what night it was, but one night not too long ago, we were all going to bed. And I was in my room. All the children were in bed. And Alyssa comes down the hallway to my bedroom and says, Dad, there's the tree branches are sparking and I think they're catching on fire. And I said, well, because I know, it is growing pretty close to that power line. So I thought, oh, great. Here it's going to happen. And the landlord's going to try to blame me. It's his tree, though. So I go in there and I go out to the front yard and I look up and I say, what are you talking about? I don't see anything. I don't see any sparks or anything. I'm looking around. Everything looks like it always has for the last 3.5 years that we've lived there. And she comes out to the porch. She says, Dad, look right there. You see that? See, it's fire right there. I said, Alyssa, that's the street light. She said, no, right there. That right there. That's a fire. The leaves are burning right there. See, it spark. I said, Alyssa, that's the street light. I am not kidding you. I said, oh, are you? She said, Dad, that's never been a light there before. I said, Alyssa, that's been there for 3.5 years. Long we lived here. And she said, oh. I said, sweetheart, your blonde is showing. My, so I still can't believe she said that. I thought she was serious. She was serious, but I can't believe she was serious. Oh, man. I knew that was going to come up sooner or later. I can't keep that in. That's too good. You need to share that with everybody. That's a good blonde joke. It's not even a joke. It's real. It really happened. Oh, man. A street light. Whew, I think I just lost it on that one. But I really didn't know what to say. I was dumbfounded. I was hoping she would come back and say, I know, Dad. I was just kidding. But she wasn't. But that tree's got some serious roots. even when the leaves leave or burn. But those, it needs to be trimmed. But listen to me, because it's going in the wrong direction. Sometimes God has to trim us because we're going in the wrong direction. Sometimes God needs to take out His pruning shears and prune us a little bit, because our pride is taking us in the wrong direction. What we think is right, what we want to do, what we feel like doing is taking us in the wrong direction. And God says, let me, I'm going to have to do some pruning here. And clip, and clip, and clip, and clip, and clip. And it, you know, it can be a little bit painful too. He's not out there breaking branches like the world does and like sin does and breaking branches off. But he's trimming it back where it needs to be, because it's going in the wrong direction. Now, you can get mad at God, and you can move out of the will of God, and you can have a completely unstable life. Or you can understand that God is doing these things to get you back where you need to be, to get you healthily growing in the right direction. So our roots establish our lives. When we do what is right, when we have righteous lives, we have roots that are deep. And even when God comes along and trims a healthy rooted tree, will not move away. Listen, here's what happens, is it grows back stronger. It grows back even more fruitful. Are you listening to me? It grows back in the right direction now, and it grows back even healthier than it was before.
Amen.
When the roots are strong, when the roots are deep. God knows when to trim the branches.
Amen.
Finally, when the roots are deep, we won't leave even when the branches break. When the roots are deep, we won't leave when the leaves leave. When the leaves, we don't fit in anymore, or God begins to show us what's really in here. When the roots are deep, we won't leave when the tree is trimmed. And lastly, we won't leave even when the fruit falls. A tree's fruit is really, if it could tell you, it would tell you that's my pride and joy. That's my fruit. Leaves are one thing, but boy, if it grows any kind of fruit, a healthy tree, that tree's fruit defines that tree. In other words, an apple tree is at its healthiest, it's going to produce abundant apples.
Amen.
Or oranges if it's an orange tree. Or pears, or whatever those trees grow. Amen. If it's that kind of tree, and it's supposed to produce that kind of fruit, listen to me, it's healthy and it's beautiful and it's at its best when it's producing abundant fruit. Our fruit in our lives, listen to me, outwardly is other Christians. God produces fruit in our hearts, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what God produces in us. But we are to bear fruit outwardly, and that's other Christians. That's you and me witnessing, telling other people about Jesus, winning them to Christ, and getting them in church. In other words, that's there are a result of our lives. Their fruit abounding to our account. And boy, a healthy Christian has a lot of fruit. Oh, the healthier the Christian, the more fruit. Let's put it that way. The healthier the Christian, the more fruit. The more people are in church, or at least saved, because of that Christian's life. Because of that Christian's righteousness. That Christian's roots. That Christian's stability. Can I tell you something? Just because you don't have a whole lot of fruit right now, you need to be careful to stay established, rooted in the will of God, and you will see fruit.
Amen.
Jesus said, abide in me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, he said, you shall bear fruit. If you stay faithful, keep your roots established in righteousness and just stay put, amen, stable and steady and true, you'll see other people saved because of you. That's fruit that abounds to your account. Sometimes that fruit falls, though. Sometimes that fruit decides, well, this ain't for me. I know Miss Donnie is praying for Carmen. I know Sister Amber had what was Elias? That friend of yours who went to Oklahoma with another. What's that?
Nakia.
And that broke her heart. She just up and left. She was coming to church. I think Miss Sister Amber wanted her to come and be here with her. And she just left. And Carmen's kind of still not really in yet. And we have other people like the Hannahs people that have come and been to church, and maybe they were here for once or twice, or they weren't here at all, but something in their life got them out of the will of God. Sin got them out of the will of God. Now they're not here, and that was kind of your fruit. That was kind of a person that was in church, or maybe saved even, because of you. And boy, you can't tell me that doesn't thrill you. I mean, Sam walked up to Liz and followed us into the church auditorium here after the March for Christ, and Liz hadn't stopped talking about him yet. It thrills us. What's that? I know you do. I do too. That's what I'm talking about. We love to have fruit. We love to have other Christians that are here and us have some kind of a part in that. It's thrilling.
Amen.
And we ought to want that.
Amen.
But sometimes fruit falls. You know what happens when that old apple hangs there for a while? If somebody doesn't pick it and do something with it, it just gets weaker. Starts to kind of rot and just boop, falls to the ground. You know, if a tree has fruit falling all over it, falling to the ground, you know, that can be discouraging. That's what I'm trying to say tonight. It could be. I look back there at Brother Sammy, and boy, it's good to see him. He's just been faithful. And I pray. I love it. But our fruit is also our children. We don't ever want to see our children fall. But sometimes it happens, doesn't it, brother? It happens. That's probably the hardest thing in this world to go through, is one of your children falling out of God's will. One of your children who used to be in church, used to be there with you, not there anymore. And I'm not picking on Brother Sammy. He's made it public, so I'm just saying. We're praying for his son, Michael. But it hurts. It's discouraging. What can I do, preacher? Here's what you can do. You can just keep deepening those roots.
Right.
And even when the fruit falls, you won't fall. Because your roots are deep in righteousness. I see Brother Ethan over here. He's brokenhearted over his sister. She was here. She's not here now. That fruit, he had a big part in her coming. And she's not here now. And that hurts. It's real. Hold on. But we have to be careful to keep our roots in righteousness, so that that doesn't take us down. So that doesn't move us. Are you listening to me? Because what good is it going to do them if you fall? What good is it going to do them if you get out of the will of God? What good is it going to do them if you're no longer stable? You know what they need to do? You know what they need? They need to know that no matter how far I stray from the will of God, they need to know that Daddy, Mommy, brother, friend, church, preacher, they need to know where to find me. They need to know, you know what, I may stray this way, that way. I may run to the other side of the country and back. But you know what? When God calls me home, I know where to find Dad. I know where to find Mom. I know where to find that old church. I know where to find the preacher. I know where to find my brother and my sister, because they're established. They're stable. Their roots haven't moved. The prodigal son, he came up again this morning. It's been on my mind a lot. I've preached lots of messages about that. It's just, there's so much in that story. But you know, if his dad hadn't been established, when the prodigal son finally got right, he wouldn't know where to go. Right? Does that make sense? But since his dad was established, since his dad hadn't moved, since his dad hadn't gotten out of the will of God, the prodigal son did for how long? We don't know. Years. But when God got a hold of his heart, he knew where to go. Because his dad hadn't moved. The fruit falls sometimes, and boy, that's just not fun. We don't like that. But they need to know when God does get a hold of their heart and bring them back, they need to know where we're at. They need to know where they can find us. I'm not talking about a building either. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about you and me, personally rooted in righteousness. So when they come back to Christ, they find us right there. If we move and we're unstable and we get out of the way, then they're not going to know where to go. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. Our Heavenly Father, I pray You'd bless the message tonight. Lord, I pray You'd help us to understand simple thoughts. We must live our lives, Father, in righteousness.